Hello all. So this week, people have suggested muscular shading techniques. Now, I don't know what this means, but I assume it means rendering a muscle, drawing a muscle, shading a muscle. I'm not the kind of artist who draws a lot of muscles, so you're gonna see some really bad muscles for the sake of rendering them. I already know this is wrong, but so what you're gonna do is you're going to. There's a few ways to render. I keep saying render. People don't know what that means. Most of the time, they think it's computer stuff. So there's a bunch of ways to draw muscles. To shade them. And one of the many ways that are popular nowadays is the ambient occlusion method, since it seems to like cover most of the shading requirements, and then lets you get away with kind of like not doing all the work. So one thing that's important about muscle shading, of course, is understanding their volume. So I'm actually don't know how to draw muscles. So I'm faking it right now, and I'm suffering for it too. So what I gotta do is I gotta make sure that whatever shapes I am drawing, they have some sense of volume. Because if you don't have volume, you're not gonna be able to shade anything, and you're gonna be spending a lot of time doing guesswork. The best scenario for what this is to, of course, use a real life reference. Here I'm just kind of feeling out shapes. Sometimes muscles kind of have this flat surface, so they go round and then flat, then round again. But here, this is without having to fuss too much, since they're not referenced. It doesn't really matter if they're good or bad, because they're all bad. So here we got around, we got these shapes here. These shapes here. I got the elbow, all right. And essentially, it's going to just be pretty straightforward. Let me go take a quick jab at the internet, see if I can do muscle ref arm, and give you guys a really good idea of what to do. A lot of this comes down to just experience and practice. Yeah, this is a good arm. You image. Show that image. Image shack. Alright, you're gonna be obnoxious about it. Come on, image shack. Alright, this is good. Whoops. Alright, hold on one sec, guys. Someone here. Sorry, I forgot to turn on my audio again when I turned this back on. So let's just recap. Build the shapes, have them make some sort of volume sense to you. If you got to do it like transparent drawings, if you got to draw boxes, you just do what is necessary to get this concept to appear in your mind to be shapes, because it is better. It'll butter. It is better to have these volumes than to have nice shapes that you can't really do much with. So I'm just going to keep drawing just a few more. Few more things here. So I'm using a reference so I can have an idea of what I'm doing. I'm gonna keep this one pretty loose. So what we're gonna do here is I'm just gonna actually have not prepared at all. I'm just gonna approach this as best as I can if I was going to approach it myself. So you got a few ways to handle this. It's always bad to draw on white, but we're not really talking about final results here. So let's get some shading and let's keep everything to a neutral non-color. This will help sell everything better. Skin is often, you know, around the 10-20% range, even lighter. So let's just get some colors in there, something to work off of, because if it's white, we're not gonna have any idea what's going on. So right now I'm literally just using a marker brush on top of everything. Lately I've been not drawing underneath lines. I draw right on top of it and let the marker with like a low enough opacity that you can see the original stuff underneath. So what we're gonna do now is we're going to take, I'm going to, first thing you can do to really get a lot of results is to do your ambient occlusion. Ambient occlusion is something you can just easily Google and find a ton of renders. It is actually a computer term. People drawing with ambient occlusion is a brand new thing, really. It's a concept I didn't see existed in exist, and maybe someone approached it long ago, but it's a concept that I didn't know, couldn't find any resources on until computers started doing them. And the idea of ambient occlusion is you draw where light can't get to, not shadow or casting or anything like that. You're just basically drawing where crevices and light, where basically light has the hardest time to get into. The simplest way you can think of this is a butt crack. A butt crack is a looks like a black line, not because it's a line, but because the light can't penetrate the butt crack enough to illuminate it. And the reason for that is because there's too many surfaces close to each other. So with something like this, with an arm like this, there's not a lot of ambient occlusion until you get to where the contact points are. You also have to consider that ambient occlusion also has to do, let's say, like the let's say the bodies right here. Ambient occlusion also includes light objects and other things that would prevent light from reaching its target. So this being beside, you know, if you had a shield on, this would be way darker. So you just gotta kind of, it's a really weird concept. So I'm gonna go with the dark. Okay, so what you do is you go and you get in all those dark crevices and you just do that. And you can, like I said, you could get away with a lot just doing this. And it's really a two-step process too. So let me get the first process done here, which is just go in and try to illuminate everything you think it's going to be illuminated. Here I'm just strengthening the natural shapes that exist, you know, and trying to wrap my head around this process because it's really kind of unnatural for some people. So do your best to kind of think about what that entails. When you're inking, a lot of this concept kind of comes on its own with just line thickness. Line thickness is its own form of it's its own form of ambient occlusion, but it has stylistic decisions and stuff. It's not as simple as that. So I think this is good enough. I'm gonna go and I'm gonna just grab any kind of brush that can blend and blur, and I need to blend and blur some of this stuff here. Let me get one that's a little more cheeky. It's a little softer. I like it has a little grain to it, so it doesn't look so. You just go in and you just. You soften it where it needs to be softened, you leave it hard where it needs to be hard. Getting this to look good on your first try might be some experience, some learning to do. A lot of art is just feeling comfortable after having learned how to use your tools or Alright, so it should kind of look like this, which is really weird looking in a way, but it's really what global illumination, sorry, ambient occlusion looks like if you Google it, which I'm just going to show you right now to prove my point. Just here you can see it. Or you can kind of see conceptually what we're looking at. And this is kind of a low res thing here, but you can kind of see conceptually what it looks like. So what you're seeing is right where the light has the hardest time getting into, not any kind of direct cast. Not any kind of specular, any kind of thing like that. You're just seeing where the you see where the mouth and the eyes. That's where the hardest part where the light has can't get into. So that's what we're kind of seeing to kind of look similar. So that's what we're kind of trying to do here. You can use a reference as well if you just don't know how to do it. See, I doubled the line here again, and I'm just gonna actually blend this a little more. I'm just gonna use a straight up blur tool. And then just go back and erase a bit more. So I've got two layers now. One of the important parts about doing this kind of effect is just ensuring that your edges stay sharp, because a lot of times, it only looks shaded on one of the sides. And I'm going to blend that down. I'm going to reduce some of the effect on some of the shapes. Erase when you can. I'm erasing here and there to get that shape sharper. Sometimes you just need a sharp shape. Sharp shape. And yeah. So you're watching me do this, and this is just. You can do this too. It's a lot of just. Conceptually, it's more conceptual than visual. It's you're trying to think of what the how the shapes behave with themselves. And okay, so oh, see, this feels wrong because there's nothing for this to cast. The elbow should be sharp and white. So let's get rid of some of that because it's wrong. Let's get some of that back in there, down here, where I think it should be. Alright, so I got that, I got that, I got that. Alright. Alright, so then we got, the general concept is there. Everything's kind of nice and smooth. And to most people, this looks like garbage. But we're trying to work this through in a way that works. On a conceptual level, and not just so. I'm going to color just because I want to see color on this, since it's the wrong move. So the next move is, and this is you can be pretty lazy about this. It's just getting some general shading in. The one of the nice things about ambient occlusion stuff is when it comes to the shading part. So I'm gonna just was right there. I'm gonna do. Just get an outside selection. This isn't very tidy or anything, as you can see. I'm just trying to illustrate some concepts. Get some ideas out to you guys so you have something to do with it. All right, so there. Okay, and then I'm going to invert that. I'm just going to create. I guess I could just mask that. Just create a mask. Doesn't really matter how you do this process, because what we're going to just do is we're just going to go in with a good old soft brush. It really doesn't matter. Airbrush, whatever. And then what you're gonna do is you're gonna there's a few ways to shade this. So I think the best way to shade this sort of stuff is to find it's kind of, I don't know what the word is for this, variance, hot spotting. You know, most people aren't completely lit evenly across the whole body unless they're in a professional light lit setting or whatever. Most of the time the lighting is higher at the top and lighter at the bottom. So already with just a little bit of shading like this, this kind of looks better. It looks like something. Then you can go in, just be really lazy again and just look at your shapes. Alright. I'm being really blobby. As you know of me, I used to work the other way, and you guys, some of you have seen me kind of over time just go from a certain kind of way of doing things to another. Okay, so now I've gotten most of what I'm going to get done with this brush because it's just not precise enough and I'm futzing with it. So I'm going to pull out a brush I like, which is, it just behaves like before. It was just the one that has a sharp edge if it's small, but it's blobby if it's big. And what I'm gonna do is, I'm gonna just repeat this kind of process I was doing before. I think this one's gonna be the wrong type of brush. Maybe it'll be fine. What I need to do is I need to just strengthen this shading, because we're just gonna go back again. And what I wanna do now is add some cast shadows, a sense of. So far I haven't really like lit the thing yet. So now, after all that kind of blobby lighting, the gradient kind of style thing, and some varying shading stuff, just to generally get that stuff in there. Now I'm kind of capturing the lighting I want. So obviously I want the lighting to come from the top. So I'm just gonna shape that like. You know, if you've ever drawn an egg and shaded an egg, if you know how to shade an egg, then you know how to do this stuff. And if you don't know how to shade an egg, go learn how to shade an egg. It's like one of the default rendering, learn how to paint tutorials you'll see on a bunch of things. So I have to make kind of some decisions here. And I'm working in a way where I can't really erase, which is annoying, but I've done that purposefully. And by erase, I mean like without destroying some previous work. And I've done that mostly to keep myself on track on what I'm doing here. I'm going to go a little darker. So here you can see I'm really just focusing on capturing light direction. I'm going to just take a quick look at some of these references and see what the volumes look like. Because I'm going to go in here and I'm going to shade this again. I'm going to blend it again. So I'm just trying to get an idea of where the shapes round off again, where the things round off. Obviously I'm not the most amazing artist in the world, so I'm trying to train you guys on something. It feels, this clump is wrong to me. There's just too many shapes intersecting, so I'm erasing to kind of free up that shape. I'm not using references for some of these because I wanted to kind of like, what would I do if I didn't have know what I was doing? Because you guys can't always have references. You're not always clear what the shape is or what it is, so I feel this is a little too strong. So anyway, I'll get there, and then I'm going to go back to the blending process, blurring whatever tool you got, and I need to just, there's other ways to do this in Photoshop tends to be about just working over this area over and over and over again. For me, I just need to find my soft spots where they need to exist. You know, this sharp stuff I need, but then I need that stuff to be tight at the top. So I'm kind of exaggerating the shapes too, just because it's easier to tone that stuff down later. You can just go with a big blur brush or all sorts of stuff. I want to focus on the stuff in the front being more visible, even though shading wise it may make less sense. So here I am accentuating the forearm in a way that may not make sense in the sense in a realistic setting, but sometimes you just gotta push reality a bit. Alright. Now I'm gonna go in, I gotta get in some sharp angles again, so I'm gonna get a brush that's a little more aggressive and get some tinier lighting in to work out those little angles, because you'll see, like, you know, that definitely need to have. So I'm working smaller and smaller. I'm just kind of here. If you're wondering what I'm doing, I'm literally just erasing. One of the benefits of size, you can easily access the turn into eraser button and turn any of your brushes into eraser. Photoshop is less convenient with that. You can't even shortcut the tool exists, but you can't shortcut it. This area is going to be a bit of an annoyance to me because it feels wrong, but I don't know why. Often when something feels wrong, what you do is you just go in there and then you blur it all up, and then you walk away like you knew what you're doing all along, and then you know that's not the best way to learn. But sometimes you can't always blow all that time you want on the one thing. So here's the original. You know, here, and if you're wondering, you know, did it really help to have those dark spots? It really does, because now you can really sense that definition and the way the muscles inject. And you can also just multiply or change the color of it at some point if you want. There's no reason to do that, but, you know, it. And then, of course, the lines from the back here, if I move that to the top, we have them on top, so you can see all these shapes a lot better. And, of course, there's the final step here. We can go in and we can do some specular lighting. And specular lighting is pretty neat because it'll actually... you can get away with murder with specular, honestly, if you know where you're putting it. This is why it's easy to abuse this and why some people have very shiny art. So, and I'm not really the greatest at it, mostly because you want to not put it everywhere, and I'm putting it everywhere. So let's go back to do this again. What you want to do is you want to find some a hot spot or two, and that's it. You can do your room lighting in this mode too. Once you've got your shapes done, you can get everything you need to get done. Get your back lighting and room lighting. And this is just literally one way. I mean, there are tons and tons and tons of ways. If I was drawing muscular characters a lot, I'd probably approach it like this. Because then, once you've got all this going on, you don't really spend that much time having to worry about everything. Once you got this going on, you can, like, stop and then look and then see, like, oh, you know, I could use this, I could use this. And then you can, you know, layer again and go, like, oh, you know... I really need to. I'm gonna use like a overlay here. Overlay helps darken dark spots. So and be like, you know, these areas really need to sink more in. This needs to, these, you can readjust, basically you can readjust your lighting scheme if you're a bad drawer. You're like, oh, you know, the top here should be lighter, but still preserve your original shading job. So this is just a good way to accentuate what's already there. So it really won't solve a problem if you screwed up, but it will help push you further than you were before. In case you're like, oh, you know, I need some backlighting here, but I don't want to destroy any of the work I've done so far. And once you're done, you can do all sorts of things like, you know, flatten it and render it some more using more of a painterly style. If you guys are desperate to see color on it like I am, you can just literally use a Lumi shader, multiply, and whatever. I'm gonna use a Lumi shade because it'll color cover all my color needs. Because Lumi shade doesn't equally colorize the whole thing in one solid value. It'll crawl down the chart. Here, let me just do layout and do this. And yeah, of course, you can just recolorize this if it's not working for you. You know, the problem is, of course, as well, it goes into the saturates pretty hard. It's not really an ideal, it's not an expert way of coloring, it's just a cheap and easy way to color. I find that if you Lumi shade, you can see here, if you Lumi shade, you need to drop that down to like 50% and then use an overlay, and then just build on top of that with an overlay, and then you'll get a lot more. A lot less aggressive color schemes. But I mean, is it the perfect system? I don't know. I'm just showing you what I know works. What I know, you know, you can get some cool colors like that, whatever. You know, if you need to get a multiply in there to bring all the color down to a specific color, and go here and then go to multiply, and you get everything onto a normal color scale. So if you look at this from the layer perspective, you got the multiply, and that just flattens all the lights into the certain one color tone, and then you got the Lumi shade, which takes care of the dark parts not looking so boring. And then we got an overlay here to kind of give it a full treatment. And then, of course, you can flatten that work on top of it. Because we have additional problems with this, of course. Everything's still kind of flat looking, so you can come here and go into light areas and pink. I'm putting in a pinker color so it looks a little nicer. So it looks a little less a desaturated, more pink color. So before it looks like this, and just straight up. Oh, not like this. So before it was like. Oh, yeah, I was working on the overlay layer. So on the overlay layer, I'm just kind of modifying the overlay layer a bit, and then while you're in the overlay layer, you can probably just add a few strengthening speculars if you want. Just build all that up. You can flatten at any point. Once again, this is all just slapdash. I'm just off the cuff here building a method. You are not forced to do anything that you don't feel comfortable with. So if you think three layers is fine, you think seven layers is fine, do that. I'm gonna just do a quick thing here because I find that if you just come in with, I used to avoid just putting in a flat opacity layer, and that means like just painting with slightly lowered opacity. Like, it's just a flat color with a lot of opacity. There's no layer effects. And recently I've found over time that just straight up drawing an orange, like a strong orange, that low opacity is better than any of your layer effects, because it toes. I mean, of course, it nukes your colors. It nukes your shading. This is interesting. It nukes your shading, but I'm gonna keep that because I like it. I'm gonna duplicate it, and I'm gonna hide what I liked, and I'm gonna just shift back. What was my train of thought here? Oh, very nice. Hey, just look at that. I find that straight up opacity, low opacity brush, maybe low opacity layer, is a more remarkably effective and completely underused. Once you become a kind of addicted to layer effects and stuff, and I think it's one of the strongest tools you can learn to use, which is just straight up throw that on there, and then if you curse, if you don't like some of it, you can just erase it, erase the strength of it. If you erase along the lines. If I'm like, you know, I wanted some more of a blush at certain points, see if you can actually introduce. So here I'm trying to introduce some color variants where I think there'd be more of a blush at the shoulder part. So we've got this kind of like sickly, I wouldn't say sickly, I mean, there's a lot of green in skin to start off with. We got that sort of thing going on, and you know, you can work in the details you need once you flatten it all. You want to be creative, you can use green. Not really trying to be creative right now, so of course then you just kind of, once you're at this point, then it's just futzing and playing. Don't overwork it too much, just keep going down the detail chain. You know, flatten at some point, commit, and then you can start doing stuff like this where you're like, okay, I really like these colors, really work for me, so I'm gonna color pick, and I know these are some of the shapes I want, so I'm gonna build some of these shapes here. You know, I'm gonna be a little strong about that, about how strong I am, and then just blur that in there, and then I got this big juicy muscle looking shape. This is maybe a little ridiculous, but you know, it's an example. Let's see if I can find another brush that's a little more, I like a nice kind of flat brush. If you want to add variants, this is your time too. If I erase that, I can add like a general texture effect. Erase that. All sorts of stuff can be done at this phase, because now you've got enough there for your kind of your eyes to glom onto. So I'm going to use this little brush I created to work in some details. I built this brush basically because I don't like blending, straight up blending. I like seeing kind of the color shine through. And honestly, the texture is a side effect. I think some people might like the texture. I'm not really crazy about it, but I like that I get to preserve the original tones and values. So I like to keep that. I like to, and then, you know, getting rid of all those lines is really easy after you're, once you're done, because you can just blend that with a normal blending brush as you would normally. If you're curious about how that looks, I mean, I can use itself to blend it, but you can just use any blending tool. And as soon as you use the blending tool, everything kind of gets, you know, just softly going over all these shapes and losing all those details. All those great little values. Great little textures and stuff, but whatever. There's a time and place for texture. Sometimes you want it, sometimes you don't. So here we go. Da-da-da. I got this gross kind of. The whole time I've been drawing this, I've been thinking of the those creature, those big gross. The oh man, I'm forgetting everything now. Prometheus, the big fleshy guys from Prometheus. So if I go back to this one, you know, this is the thing I drew before I liked. And I throw this as a multiply, I don't know what it looks like. Oh, that's interesting. You know. Does it good? I don't know. I'm just, it's fun though. It's fun to look at. Does it improve it? Oh, well, maybe. Kind of like it. So, there it is. That's the best I can do for you guys. Just kind of a off the cuff pulling a method out of my buns. So hopefully that helps those who are having a problem with this or need a kind of starting point and want to go somewhere with what they're doing. All right, so thanks guys. See you next time. Later.